8. A plot discovered.
Come on, said Justice.
No, replied Prudence.
Her bravery had vanished.
No,
I'm frightened.
Come on, said Justice. Let's go down and see what they're doing.
Prudence felt too frightened to stay alone in the dark. She had to go on with her brother. They slid like silent snakes down the remaining steps. Soon they were knee-deep in spades and axes. Carefully they picked their way across the hole, through the tools, over the sacks, and past the boxes. Once, Justice stepped onto a pile of tools and lost his balance with the moving of the ship in the heavy sea. He dislodged a pile of muskets, and they fell with a clatter down amongst the chests. Justice froze with horror. Prudence grabbed him and pulled him down to the safety of the darkness. She put her finger to her clenched lips. They could feel and hear their hearts pounding madly within them.
What's that? Demanded a thick, drunken voice.
The question was repeated louder.
What's that, I say?
One of the sailors stood up. He picked up the tallow dip and held it high above his head.
What's that noise? Who's there?
Justice and Prudence froze, stiff with fear. They dared not move. They shrank back against the boxes.
Come on, Nabel, sit down, won't he?
Called a befuddled voice from the gambling party.
Put that light back down here. 'Tis only the sea pulled over some muskets.
Aye, said another.
Here may be some rats. Come on, man, it's your throw. Sit down, Nabel, and get on with the game.
No, I will not. There's somebody there, I tell you. Somebody's a-spying on us.
Justice and Prudence could see him as they peered around some sacks. His eyes were filled with fear, rapidly searching the piles of sacks and chests.
Sit down, man, and get on with the game.
Justice and Prudence heard a scuffle. The thought that the drunken sailor was coming over towards them raced through their minds, but no relief. It was merely the sound of the rest of his friends pulling their gaming partner back.
"'Tis your turn,' a drunken voice drawled out. "'Tis your turn. Noise, noise. Forget the noise. 'Tis only rats. Get on with the important business.'
Justice and Prudence started to breathe again as the subdued sounds of the resumed games reached them. All had grown a concealing dark once more. After a few moments, Justice began to inch his way towards the men. Prudence wanted to go back, but she dared not leave her brother. After what seemed an age, they managed to get very close to the sailors, who were once again engrossed in their game. The children hid behind sacks of dried peas, where they could see and hear all before them. Suddenly the game was over. With oaths and curses, three of the men abruptly threw down their money, leaving the fourth to pick up the scattered coins.
"Another," he said,
with a cheerful ring of anticipation in his voice. "Another game?"
"No, here," replied one of his companions.
"I've nothing left as 'tis. Do you want the very shirt off me back, too?"
"Well, let's have another noggin afore we go." "Ah, another noggin."
Glasses were filled with fiery liquid. Foreheads were flung back, and the spirits rapidly disappeared down gaping throats. The men talked on in their tipsy way. As they spoke, the children felt a tingle of horror run through them. The sailors were laughing and joking about them.
Them? Ah, that's good, that is. They, pilgrims, have been deceived good and proper, bragged one as he took another swig at the bottle.
He wiped his mouth with his sleeve, or what remained of his ragged shirt upon his arm. He passed the bottle to his friend. He, too, thrust the bottle to his lips and tipped his arm back and took a long, guzzling drink. He was so flushed and shaky that the liquid poured over his chin and spilled down his shirt. He belched loudly. He slapped the bottle unsteadily onto the table.
"Ah," said he, "good and proper they've been had."
He laughed loudly.
"Master Reynolds, he's a clever one. He's taken them in all right," he sneered.
"What's all this? What's all this, then? What's his plan, then?" questioned another.
"What, don't you know?" came the reply. "Reynolds has a great scheme. He's a sly boots, he is. He's right cunning. You got to hand it to him, all right. He's a sharp one and no mistake.
I always said he was crafty."
Yeah, we know that, but what's he done?" came the impatient demand. "What's so clever? What's he up to this time?"
All right, keep your temper, it's like this.
He plans to get this lot," he jerked his thumb upwards. "He's going to get this lot well out into the Atlantic, and by then she'll be leaking good and proper. Then he'll turn her back. The pilgrims are begging him, like as not. And then he'll be able to dump them back on shore, and at their asking." He guffawed, took another swig at the bottle, and went on. "'Tis like this. The plan is, he'll have made his money for crossing the Atlantic by just going out for a few days, see? And there again, even if they do make him go all the way, he'll bring the ship back after she's unloaded. They think that he's staying with them a full year. And what's more, they paid their money. They paid it already. Think of that, paid already. He's a clever one, that Master Reynolds, that he is. I always said he was artful."
"Silence, you fool, silence!"
In an instant all the eyes were turned to the steps. So engrossed had been the sailors and the children, so absorbed, no one had noticed the descent of another man down the steps. A massive man now stood at the foot of the steps, one hand clutching the beam and a lantern held high in the other. He wore a magnificent tunic of bright blue with gold buttons. How they shone in the light of his lantern. His long hair fell about his collar. He had a frilly white cravat tucked beneath his chin that rode magnificently over his chest. A thick, glossy, black leather belt crossed over from his shoulder to his waist. It was Master Reynolds himself, the captain of the ship. Master Reynolds.
"Silence!"
The captain walked slowly towards the men. He picked his way faultlessly through the maze of sacks and chests.
"You fools! You besotted fools!" he shouted at them. "I'll have you keel-hauled for this. Keel-hauled, you hear me?" he roared. "I'll have you flogged at the mainmast. You'll feel the cat on nine tails. Disobedience to my orders I will not tolerate. No drink down here," I said. "Did I not say that? Did I not say that?"
But no reply was forthcoming. He reached the men.
"What's this? What's this?" he said, picking up a stray coin. "Gaming, eh? You know my orders, Naval Wilson," he said, pointing his finger at the chest of one and prodding him. "You know my orders, man.
And my orders are to be obeyed. I'll have you keel-hauled, you lazy swab."
He fell silent. He looked at the shame-faced sailors, who had by now rapidly sobered up. He put a brown-booted foot upon the table and slapped his raised knee.
"But you're right, my men," said he, with a ribald snare that slowly grew and broke into a great guffaw. "You're right. I have outflanked the pilgrims. Pilgrims," he said with obvious disgust. "Pilgrims? Conscience and Bible?" He spat out the words. "They're so soft. They think we're all good, honest Englishmen."
He chortled to himself. He slapped his chest.
"I'm a good, honest Englishman. I'll help anybody with his burden. I'll lighten the load of any poor, poor pilgrim."
He opened wide his arms. "Bring your gold to me, my friends." He turned to the sailors.
"Yes, my boys," he said to no one in particular, "yes, my boys, you can congratulate yourselves that you picked up this berth. 'Tis like robbing the blind. 'Tis like taking money from children, from babies."
He fell silent again, his face clouded, his brow creased.
"But you drunken fools will ruin all. What? What if one of them heard you? Eh? Didn't think of that, no. That never entered your bony heads? No, well, 'tis true, you're not paid to think, but to do as you're told. From now on, keep your mouth shut, do you hear me? Do you hear me, Naval Wilson?" he roared.
A nasty smile with no laughter in it came to his lips.
Do you hear me, Wilson?
Yes, sir. Yeah, as Master Reynolds, I hear you, stammered the sailor. I hear you right enough. He dared not look into his master's blazing eyes.
Well, do as I say in future. Get rid of this drink at once, I say. Stop this gambling. Up aloft, you lazy idlers. Your work is up above. Keep your lips tight, and you shall have your pockets full. Do you follow me? Do you get my meaning?
Yes, master, came a mumbled reply. To be just as you say. Just as you say. They picked up their glasses and bottles, slouched across the hold, and vanished up the stairs. All was left in total blackness below, not a light anywhere. Justice and Prudence were all alone among the sacks and rats. Their ears and hearts throbbed with the words they had just heard. The pilgrims had been cheated by the captain of the ship, cheated, and by the captain himself.